Well, tonight, I'll be studying on prayer because the Lord has been teaching me a lot about prayer in the recent days. And to be able to pray to God is something that is good for us, but that without Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, to come to God to make our requests would be impossible because he is holy and righteous. He's the one who can deliver us. He's the one who can help us in our time of need, but he cannot stand our sin. So we needed our Savior Jesus to prepare us to be able to be in prayer. And I just wanted to recognize that God is in control, that God is holy and God is true. But at the same time, he's loving and merciful. And it's because of the blood of Jesus, because he loved us so much. He wanted to be in fellowship with us. He doesn't want to leave us alone in our troubles and our trials. That seems to be the time when we like to pray the most, is when we're having troubles and trials. Because God reminds us, hey, I'm here, you know, offer up those prayers. But we should be constant and be consistent with our prayers, even in the good times, to be thankful and to praise him for who he is. And we're going to be going through quite a few scriptures. So if you have your Bibles, you might have to speed along, but I'll try to slow it down so you give you a chance to find the verses. And if you're on your phones, that might be a little bit easier, but still, I know it can be difficult to keep up at times. So, but I have quite a few to go with this evening through prayer. So hopefully we can get through this together. What is prayer? So just by looking at the definitions of the Bible and the Bible dictionary, they're very similar. To make an earnest request in a humble manner. To address God with adoration and worship, confession, supplication, plead and implore or beseech or solicit, or thanksgiving and praise. That's what the definitions that you have in the dictionary and in the Bible dictionary. Prayer is coming before God and making our requests known. But it's also a part of worship and recognizing who he is and what he's done for us in thankfulness and prayer. So what do you think of when you think of prayer? There's lots of different people in this room, and I know we've gone through different things when you think of prayer. You think of intercessory prayer. You're praying for someone else. You're praying for someone else's salvation. You're praying for somebody else's well-being. We're praying, you know, for Katya's family in the Ukraine. You know, we pray that the Lord will reach his hand out and miraculously protect them in this trying time. And we pray that, you know, we pray for intercession. We pray that the Lord's Spirit will work in a strong way in someone else's life. So intercession is one of the types of prayer that we can think of when we think of prayer. Thanksgiving and praise is another thing we think of when we think of prayer. Just recognizing all the good things that God has given to us. Because there's so many blessings in our lives. Even the little prayers, you know, God is good, God is great. You know, thank you. Let us thank him for our food. You know, the little prayers that we used to say as kids at the dinner table. To be thankful. That is a prayer. You're talking to your Heavenly Father. You're talking to God himself. And what makes that possible is the blood of Jesus Christ. What makes that possible is the veil that was torn. Jesus intercedes for us to the Father and makes our requests known to him. Confession and recognition of our condition and our need for help. Lord, I'm out of money this month. I don't have rent. I need your help. So confessing where we're at and what we need help in, that's another condition of prayer. You know, we have a need. A family member has a need. You know, we come to him recognizing that need and asking for help. And then specifically, sometimes we ask for healing, that the Lord would reach out and miraculously change our physical or emotional problems that we have. You know, and we have so many needs, you know, physically. You know, the people in Ukraine, you know, you can see the stores. I saw some of the pictures from Katya where the stores are just bare with all no food for anybody to get, even if they had money, because the ATMs don't have money in their machines, you know, nothing to buy it with, and there's nothing at the store to buy anymore. So you're praying for food, sustenance. You know, we pray for things as well. you know, I need transportation to get to work. I need a car that works because my car is broken down. You know, different prayers that we have over time, physically and emotionally too. I've lost a loved one. What do I do? How do I get by the next day or two? What do I, you know, how do I get through this, God? You know, these are prayers that God wants to hear from us. But prayer has many different facets in it. And I just wanted to recognize a bunch of those different ways that what we think of when we think of prayer. And we need to think of prayer as something we need to do continually. It's not just a one-time thing when I need something. It helps our relationship with our God and our Father, who has sacrificed himself for us. It allows us to draw close to him because he wants to meet our needs and he wants us to talk to him and he earnestly wants to answer us. He doesn't always want to answer, yes, I'll give you exactly what you're asking for. But as Jesus was in the garden when he was praying, not my will, but yours be done. Prayer helps us do that, helps us align his will with our will. Sometimes our will has to change to be like his. Because sometimes what we want isn't necessarily what we need from him and what he wants to do through us. Sometimes he has a different purpose and he has to change us. Prayer is not just a wish list. He's not just a genie who's going to give us everything that we ask for. What he is a loving God who says, come into my presence and talk to me. I'll listen to your request. And then sit back and listen to what I have to say to you. Because I want to be a part of your life, day in and day out. I want to minister to your needs. I want to be somebody who is there for you. So prayer is not something that just is always just a request. It's also the thanksgiving and recognizing who God is. But how do we pray? Do we necessarily have to pray like the religious guy on TV? You know, I could stand out from behind here and run up and down the aisles and, you know, get everybody all excited and have everybody jump up and shout. But does that necessarily going to be what God wants through prayer? You know, is that what he wants us to be? How do we pray? Do we pray to be seen by men or do we pray to our Heavenly Father who's in secret? Do we need to pray in agreement with one another? I remember when I was in college, we had a small prayer group that we got together. And it was actually kind of a fun little prayer group, you know, because we started off small with just like four or five people. And then we ended up with 25 or 30 people in a little prayer group. I thought it was a very awesome time because everybody brought their own little individual needs. And then we brought the needs of, you know, us as a body, us as believers together. And I think it's one of those things that the church has lost a little bit because our church used to always have a prayer meeting every Sunday, you know, and that's something that we need to really get back to because prayer changes things. It changes us. You know, we always think of prayer as changing a situation. Prayer can change situations. We can move mountains, the Lord says, but he also wants to change us. And I think that's the biggest thing that we need to look at in prayer is, are we willing to be changed? You know, are we willing to listen to what he has to say? Matthew chapter 5, 44. Jesus has something to say about the matter. You have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's one way the Lord has taught us to pray. Once again, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That can be a hard thing, you know, especially if you're sitting in Ukraine and Russian troops are at your door. And, you know, how can you sit there and say, I want to pray for Putin? Well, I would pray that the Lord would take him off the face of the earth. But, you know, what is God's will and God's purpose in this? Pray for those who persecute that they might be saved. Because they have the same need of salvation as I have. The Lord reached out to me when I was in a desperate need. You know, just as our enemies are in a desperate need. You know, we shouldn't think of ourselves greater than what we are. because we're no greater than our enemies. They need the same salvation that we have. And I pray that they would have the same opportunities we have. And if they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's on their shoulders. Then let the judgment come from God. And let it be swift and let it be strong. You know, and that's my prayer. And that's what he's saying is, don't take judgment upon yourself. And it's not ours to judge, but ours is to pray. And even pray for those who might be in one of those things. So, to go on further now, the Lord knows our needs before we have them. You know, and when should we pray? When should we pray? Should we pray in the morning? Should we pray at night? Should we, you know, is it only when the church gets together that we pray? Is it only when the pastor is standing up front and said, let us pray? Is that the only times we pray? Or is it when we say, Jesus, take the wheel? You know, when do we offer up those prayers? You know, I just wish that the Lord would tell us a little bit easier about those things. Prayer is also making requests of the Lord. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. We've all heard this verse many times, but let's think about it in the attitude of prayer. Well, how does this verse fit with prayer? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Do this then, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Pray. Be anxious for nothing. Put it into His hands, is what it's saying. God is so good. He's giving us the answers right here with everything by prayer. And prayer is just talking with our Father and letting our requests be known to Him. And it's also spending some time listening to what He has to say to us. Prayer is an intimate time when, you know, you're not going to just run up to Jesus and sit in His lap, you know, like Tony was saying last week. You know, He's not just our good buddy upstairs, but He is our loving Father who cares for us. He's holy and righteous, and He's the one who will pick us up. He's the one who holds us. And as we come to Him, He will listen to us. By making your prayer and supplication with all thanksgiving, you know, that's even thanking Him before there's actually an answer, knowing that He's already loved you enough to send His Son Jesus, and that His blood upon that cross has saved us. So there's something to be thankful for even before He answers our requests, before He answers what we're praying about. He cares about us. And it's just reminding ourselves that He does care. He does not leave us alone. And prayer reminds us that we're not alone. And when two or more get together, He is there also, it says in the scriptures. So if you're having a hard time, it's also good to pray with one another. Now, I have a hard time today. You know, call up Ivan, call up George, call up Jeffrey, you know, call up a friend and say, hey, I'm having a hard time. Will you pray with me? Pray for me. Those are things that we can do when we gather together. And it says when we do these things that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding and comprehension, will guard our hearts. It's one way to be closer to our Heavenly Father is by being with Him in prayer, by letting our hearts be open to Him and not hide our hearts from Him. Because we do. We hide our hearts from Him. This is what I like, and I just want to keep it here. I don't need to give this to God. God wants our whole heart. God wants us to pour that out in thanksgiving and praise, but also in prayer saying, this part hurts God. It's okay to be honest with Him. Because God will answer our prayers. He just doesn't always give us the answer we want. But what he gives us is the answer we need. Because when you lose a loved one, you pray, I wish they wouldn't have gone. Well, he raised Lazarus from the dead, but he doesn't raise all our loved ones from the dead because he has a greater purpose. They get to be in his arms. What a joy it is for them. We have a loss. We don't want to pray to get them back. What we need to pray is help us get through. You know, and that's, for me, that was the hardest thing when I lost Janine was, you know, Lord, I need to go forward. I can be happy for her, even though I'm sad that she's gone. You know, and getting to that point where the Lord says, you're going to be all right. I'm with you. I will comfort you. I will guide you. Thank you for coming to me and exposing your heart and your hurt to me. Because sometimes we're just afraid to let God know the truth that's hiding in our heart. And sometimes it's hard to give up the sin that's in our heart and to confess those to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry I've done this wrong. Forgive me. Help me be stronger to overcome this. Prayer, it does that. It draws you into a deeper relationship with our Savior. When should we pray? It's a good question. I've already asked it a little bit. We can start off. We can look at Mark 1, verse 35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went away to a secluded place where he was prepared, that he was preparing there, preparing his Father's will. And that is how we find out what God's will for our lives today is: get up early in the morning and spend some time. Jesus is a great example. He started his day in prayer. He went to a secluded place, a quiet place. It can be at your kitchen table with a cup of coffee. It can be, you know, in the bathroom and shut the door, you know, that way the kids don't bother you. You know, all kinds of different places, but a quiet place where you can come and talk to the Lord in the morning. Because we get so busy with our days and we get so worried about, I have to get to work. I got to get this report done. I got to do this. We get so fragmented. Just when we wake up in the morning, there's so many things sending us in other directions. Jesus started off with prayer in the morning. That sets our minds right. That our purpose on this earth is not our job. Our purpose on earth is to share him to those around us. Go to all the world. In our job. At home. At the grocery store. Come by Shields and share it with me. I don't, you know, I could always use some encouragement. You know, early in the morning, set your day that way. That way, as you go through the day, you're prepared for what comes. You're preparing your heart to follow after God's will for you for that day. So early in the morning is a great time, especially with the time change. Dark comes earlier. Because I'm real happy with the sun being out late, but because I like to do things after I get off of work, so I'm happy about that. But do hope it, you know, they make it so it stays lighter all the time. But that's just me. But early in the morning is a great time to pray. Another time in Mark 6:46, after feeding the 5,000, he sent the disciples away in boats to the other side of the lake. Ahead of him. And after saying goodbye and farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. And that was at night. So evening is a good time to pray. Lord, thank you for getting me through the day. Lord, forgive me for forgetting you today. I had a chance to minister and I didn't. You know, we get a chance to let him know, you know, I'm sorry or thank you. There's a lot of things we can say at the end of our day, every day. Because he is our Heavenly Father. He likes to, you know, he likes to hear from us. Like it used to be when you'd come home and have dinner with one another. How was your day? What was going on? The Lord wants to hear from us. Not that he doesn't know what's going on, but he wants us to share with him, to interact with him, to be able to thank him, praise him, you know, and say, I still have a need. You know, he wants that relationship. He wants a relationship with us. Prayer is part of our relationship with our Heavenly Father that he gives us, that we didn't have before the sacrifice of Jesus. Because there was a temple and that veil. You know, without sacrifice of an animal, we were unclean and not able to come. The priest was you'd bring your prayers to the priest and he'd have to bring them to the Lord. We get a chance to come straight to our Savior. You know, this is a great time that we have. And the power that lived inside of Jesus can live inside of us through his Spirit. You know, let's not forget there is power in prayer. Because Jesus sent out the disciples and they cast out demons in his name through prayer. Jesus fed 5,000, you know, through prayer. He offered up the bread to who? To the Lord. And the Lord blessed. And he did a miracle. The Lord can do a miracle through prayer. We should not ever short God. He wants to hear what we're asking for. And if you have a need, he will hear your need. He does not always answer the way we ask. But he will answer in a miraculous way, one way or another. And it's just good to be submitted to him. So early in the morning is a good time. In the evening is a good time. Another time that's great to pray. To pray that we would endure temptations. Because temptations come our way. Temptation to, you know, as a kid, it's to steal a candy bar. You know, today it could be, you know, as we get older, it's, you know, as you see somebody and just, you have that lustful eye, which is a sin. And there's lots of different things, you know, cheat on my taxes. Well, it doesn't, you know, I did go to the grocery store, so I need to count that trip on, you know, on my mileage. You know, well, I don't know if that counts as a trip for medical expenses, but, you know, if it's iffy, I wouldn't do it. I want to be righteous before God. So pray to endure those temptations and trials when they come your way. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, this is in Matthew 26:41. Once again, jumping through the scriptures as I said we would. It talks about these temptations that the disciples were going through. Jesus, on the night he was taken to be crucified, so you men could not keep watch with me and pray with me for 1 hour? Jesus prayed to the Father. So is prayer important? Yes. Even for our Savior, it was important to be in relationship with the Father, and then he would know what the Father's will was. But he's saying to his disciples, could you not pray with me 1 hour? He says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into the temptations. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If our flesh is weak, how do we overcome those temptations? Through prayer, through the Spirit, through being in relationship with Jesus. It's not through just willing yourself to be better. Well, I've decided I'm just going to be better. That doesn't work. That's not going to make you holy or righteous. For what is prayer. And what he says is keep watching and praying that you may not enter into the temptations. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we need to be in prayer to overcome those trials and temptations that come our way. Do we have trials and temptations every day? Yes, we do. And the closer you walk to Jesus, the more you'll have them. It's an interesting way that those things work. David had some things to say about prayer also. So we can go to the Old Testament. Psalms 55, verse 1. Fairly similar to the one I read at the beginning, Psalms 5. It says, give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Do not hide yourself from my prayer. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint. and I am distracted. Give ear to my prayer, O God, not because he's righteous, but because he has a need. His need was to be heard, and he knew that he was being distracted. But he says, don't hide yourself from my supplication, my request. Don't hide yourself from me. Be in relationship with me. That's what we want through prayer, is to be in relationship with our God who saves us. And prayer will help us in our relationship with God. You want a better relationship with God? Spend some more time in prayer. If you don't know what to pray about, there's lots of things you can find. You know, watch the news for 5 minutes and you'll have lots to pray for. Call up a family member. You'll have lots to pray for. The disciples asked Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And this is where a lot of people thought that I would be going when I told them I was going to be preaching on prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. That's in Luke 11:1. And how he answered is basically through the Lord's Prayer, which is actually the disciples' prayer, because the disciples asked, you know, how do we pray? You know, how do we do it? You know, you go up and pray all the time. Can you teach us to pray? It's not a prayer that we just need to, repeat every day. It's a form. It's showing us how to pray. It's not showing us what to pray. You know, because they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Not, Lord, give us a prayer to pray every day. It's a little bit different what they're asking for. It's a little bit different than what he's given. It's a little bit different than what the church has taken it out to be as well. You know, even though it's powerful and it's strong, it's just a good example of how we need to pray. Acknowledge who God is and his will and give up our requests to him. And the rest of the verse in Luke 11 is our Father in heaven. The beginning of the Lord's Prayer is our Father in heaven, recognizing who we're praying to, who has the power to do something in this situation. Is it me or is it God? It's recognizing that relationship that we have. Hallowed be your name, giving him worship and praise. We had some wonderful worship this evening that brought us into the throne room of God. Hallowed be your name. Praise him for who he is, the God who has created the world, the God who has created the universe. There's so much to look at and see that is great and glorious. And yet we can also see the sin and fallen nature of this world. But we know how great things can be and are at the same time. Hallowed be your name. And then we have something to look forward to. Your kingdom come. And once again, this is just an outline of things we need to do in prayer. Recognizing who God is. Giving him worship. Your kingdom come. Looking forward to the promises that he's given us. The promises that he said are going to happen. He says his kingdom is going to come. His kingdom is going to come if you want it or not. And his judgment will come if we want it or not. So salvation is very key in our relationship as well. But understanding that relationship and that this is going to happen. His kingdom is going to come. And this next part is for the future and for now. Your will be done. We pray, you know, generally, Lord, let your will be done here on earth. But now it's, no, Lord, do in my life what you want to do. Let your will be done in my life. I can't do anything to please you. I'm unrighteous. Lord, work through me. That you and your spirit can do your work. And that's what brings glory to his name. On earth as it is in heaven. And we don't think about this often because, but on earth as it is in heaven, you know, the heavens rejoice when somebody gets saved. We have an effect in the spiritual world as we bow our knee and we allow the spirit to work through us. There's things that we don't see in the spiritual world that are happening and moving by being in prayer. Because the Lord moves in mysterious ways. The Lord isn't stuck with us in this physical world. He goes beyond that. And he goes beyond time. And he will reach into all of our situations and give us the help that we need. I think that's what he's saying here, is he's recognizing on earth as it is in heaven. Help what's going on in heaven to happen here in my heart, that I can share that with others. And now we make our requests known. Look at that's over half half of this, and we haven't even made many requests yet to God. Now it's give us day by day our daily bread. And knowing that that is where our sustenance comes from. It comes from our Lord. You know, it doesn't come from my work. The Lord is providing it, not me. Because if it's my provision, I can glory in that. But if it's something God has given, we can thank him for it. Because he's given, knowing that he is the provider of a job, the provider of the money that comes with the job, understanding that it's not us, that it's him working through us. I think that's putting things in proper perspective. And the next is, give us this daily bread. The next one is, and forgive us our sins. And we don't have just one sin that we've had in our life. We have sins day by day, lots of sins daily to ask for forgiveness for. Forgive us our sins. The next one is harder, and help us to forgive everyone who is indebted to us or who has sinned against us. We need to be praying for those who persecute us, we read earlier. We need to pray for those, who we need to pray for those who have sinned against us. Not pray that God's gonna get them, but pray that they once again they can have that same salvation that we have, and that we can rejoice and become one family, that we can be restored in fellowship like God wanted all men to be. And with him, he wanted us to be in fellowship with him and in one accord. And they will know we are Christians by our love. You know, that is what the Lord wants for us. And that's how they'll know we're loved, because we'll be sharing it with one another. You know, it's a great song. How will they know we are Christians by our love? You know, and, you know, do we love one another? Do we meet the needs of one another? Are we helping Mike Land with meals? Yes. Are all of us doing that? Could more of us reach out and help in that situation? Or is there another situation in our family where we could help somebody? You know, bring somebody a meal, invite somebody over to come and join us. You know, there's lots of ways we can reach out to those who are around us. You know, it could be somebody at work that you know doesn't, you know, who goes home alone, you know, to their home every night. Just, hey, let's go out and grab dinner together. You know, let's have some fellowship with each other. Hey, come and join me at church. You know, it used to be a great thing to invite somebody to come to church with you. Right? You know, come to church with me and we'll go out to dinner afterwards. We'll have a good time. You know, I want you to know my Jesus. I want you to know my pastor, because I get nourished there. Do we do that very often anymore? You know, do we tend to want to share those things? Do we do that with those who sin against us? Because it tends to be a lot of family and lots of people who are close to us that hurt us the most, that makes it hard for us to forgive and hard to love. But how do we show that love? We love them. And lead us not into temptation. Once again, that goes to the last passage we went to. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For there is an enemy who wants to destroy us. There is an enemy who would like to see us fall. There's an enemy, if he can't take our soul, wants to make us ineffective and make us so that we are not going to be effective in this world to share Jesus with anyone. That we're going to live in condemnation, we're going to live in our sin, and we're going to live in a quiet corner and not share the love of Jesus with anyone. That's not what the Lord wants for us. But he wants us to be delivered from that one who's attacking. And that there is an evil one in this world. And that we can pray against temptation. We can pray against the evil one. And in the spiritual world, our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit are more powerful than anything on the other side. Because with the word, a word of his mouth, and they have to flee in the name of Jesus. You read in James that that's how it is. The name of Jesus is powerful. And as in my quiet time this week, it was interesting that I'm doing some studies from Billy Graham. And Billy Graham had a passage here that I'm going to read about prayer. And that kind of sums up a lot of what we've been learning about prayer this evening. I just thought it was pretty amazing that he had the same kind of thoughts that we did. Billy Graham said, "Thousands pray only in times of great stress, danger, or uncertainty. I have flown through bad storms and found myself surrounded by people praying for the very first time in their lives. It's instinctive for us to pray in times of trouble. Only then do we realize our helplessness." Let me find this other part. "Well, then we realize our helplessness. But Christ instructed his followers to pray at all times, both by his teaching and his example. So fervent and so direct are his prayers that once, after he finished praying, his followers pleaded, Lord, teach us to pray. They yearned to be in touch with God as they knew Christ was. Have you ever said, Lord, teach me to pray? Prayer shouldn't be casual or sporadic, dictated only by the needs of the moment. Prayer should be as much a part of our lives as breathing. Never has our world stood in greater need of people who will pray. Will you be one of them?" was his question. Will you be one of them is the question I have as well. Are we going to be ones who pray? So for this evening, who do we pray for? We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for our loved ones. We need to pray for our enemies. When do we need to pray? We need to pray in times of trouble. We need to pray when things are good and be thankful. We need to pray in the morning. We need to pray at night. We need to pray at all times without ceasing. How do we pray? Well, the Lord gave us a good template through the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer. Recognize who he is. Ask him for help. Thank him for what he is doing. And expect him to answer without telling him what the answer is. Allowing him to be God. When you allow God to be God through your prayer, our lives will be changed. That's what I have for this evening on prayer. So thank you for putting up with me this evening. And I will close this off with a word of prayer as we get ready to close in worship. Heavenly Father, we recognize that you are God and that you are powerful. You are the creator of this world. You are the creator who made each of us. Lord, you knew we were all going to be here this evening. And I pray that as we leave tonight, we will learn and expect more through prayer, and that we'll be more diligent in prayer, that we will offer ourselves up to you, Heavenly Father, for your will, and that you would teach us what your will is in our life and help us submit to you, that your will would be done. You are a great God, and I pray that you will reach out to Katya and her family, that you'll be ministering to those in the Ukraine. Lord, I pray that you would be preparing Ron to speak to us next week. I pray that you'll be with Tony and Debbie, that you'd keep them safe with traveling mercies, that you'll allow them to have a restorative time with you and with one another. And we pray that you'll bring them back safely. Lord, we thank you for those who couldn't be with us this evening. Lord, we thank you for Michael Ann, and we thank you for Karen. And we pray that your hand would be upon them and that you'd be working in their lives and that you'd be working in their healing and be working in their relationships with you. We pray that your will would be done. And we thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, what a glorious, glorious thing is that we can be forgiven and that we can be in relationship with a God who has the power of the world to heal and to touch everyone in our world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.